Excited to preach with you guys today. I'm usually hiding behind a guitar, so to get the chance to do this is a lot of fun, and it's a few weeks in the making, so it's been fun to prepare and see what's on God's heart in the scriptures today. Before we start, I'm going to get these some notes up here. Let's see if that works. Perfect. There we go. So let me pray before we start. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you're here, that you care for us. You care for us enough to bypass all of our weaknesses to speak to us, Lord. And your power is sufficient in our weakness. God, thanks for your word. It builds us up, Lord. It moves us towards a relationship with you. It points us to you, Jesus. We love you. Would you speak today through your word? Holy Spirit, would you speak in your name? Amen. So Jake has been talking about this theme of the gift of righteousness. And a lot of us, we've learned that righteousness is something that we've been given. When you know Jesus, he gives you his righteousness. You are considered righteous. But he's also been talking about that righteousness is this. God's righteousness is not only given to us, but he wants it to flow through us, right? We are the righteousness of God now, but now he's calling us, now I want you to live righteous, and I'm going to show you how to do that. And so today, we're going to jump into the scriptures about how that happens, who that happens to, and who do we do it with. And it's primarily going to be about the gift of righteousness, of the gift of the Holy Spirit. He was given to us. We didn't work for him. We didn't show off for him so he'd come. He came when we knew Jesus and when we believed in him. And so today we're going to talk about living by the Spirit of God. Go back here. I sometimes say the Holy Spirit. You'll hear me say just Holy Spirit without the, because a lot of times when I'm talking to him, I don't say, hi, the Holy Spirit. So if you hear me see both, that's why I say the differences. So who is this Holy Spirit? Some of you have grown up and sometimes we might believe that he's like a force, but he's not a force. He's not just a power. He's not just like oil, or you may feel him like, you might even feel like electricity in your heart sometimes, right? You're like, wow, I'm just charged. It doesn't mean that he's an electrical breaker, right? But he could feel that way. He's actually God. It's the Spirit of God living inside of us. It's literally him. As you've heard, some of you might have heard, there's God the Son, God the Father, and Holy Spirit. Three people, one God. He is God inside of us. And so we want to talk about, what is our relationship like with him now? This is the question I want to ask. What kind of relationship have we been called into with Holy Spirit? What is it like? Like, some of us grew up in all different kinds of churches. We might think, well, it's just all about power. It's all about miracles and signs and wonders. That's beautiful. I love all of that. But what's the deepest thing about what we're called to in this relationship? And what is it not as well? Because sometimes we grow up thinking our relationship with God is things that really aren't true. And so we're going to dive deep into the chapter 8 of Romans. And this is Paul talking. And actually, before I show you that there, Paul is laying out the gospel in the book of Romans, and Jake has been talking about how we've been dead to sin. He's given us the gift of righteousness. And then he comes to this place in chapter 8, and he's saying, okay, I've told you about the gospel. I've told you about that one that lives inside of you. Let me tell you what that life is like now. And that's what chapter 8 kind of gets to. And so, very first and foremost, what is that life about? It's about this. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Everybody say no condemnation. No condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. Everybody say free. Free. From the law of sin and death. That is good news. He just comes right out of the gate, saying there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's two things I pick up from those two verses. The three words that says in Christ Jesus and no condemnation. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means that he has made us a new creation. In Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The second thing we get from that is, therefore, there's no condemnation. Let's unpack this first one here where it says that, you know, we're new creatures in Christ. In Christ, it's a new creation. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, when he died, all of your sins and your old self was placed on him. And so now as believers, when Jesus died, your old self died with him. When he rose, you rose with him. You are now in union with Christ. Everybody say union with Christ. Those of you who just came and you're new, this might be brand new for you. I want you to know that this union is offered to you today. It's simply turning to Jesus saying, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that 2,000 years ago you died in my place and you rose anew for a new identity for me. I want to follow you. Forgive me. I receive the gift. I believe. That's for you today. And so when we talk about this, I want you to be asking questions. Who is this for me? Can I receive this today? So we're in union with Christ. The crazy thing is that what's true of Christ now is true of us. His righteousness has literally been given to us. His holiness has been given to us. His purity has been given to us. His kindness, his compassion. You might be going, well, I've heard those things before, but I don't experience those. That's where maturity comes in, where we grow. We grow into an awareness of who we've been in Christ all this time. He calls us his kids, and it is the most beautiful thing ever. And this is who we are. There's an interesting story of this guy named Augustine. Some people will call him St. Augustine from the Catholic Church, but way back in 384 A.D., I believe is that's when he was born or when he got converted. Augustine, we get a lot of our theology, what we think about God, like literally today, we get a lot of our theology from this guy, okay? Just a cool man of God who really blessed the church. But there's this story that before he knew Jesus, he was into a lot of wild living. He was with a lot of women. And after he gets saved, he puts all of that behind him. And he lives for God alone after that. But there's this legendary story that people tell about his life that Augustine's walking down the street one day in the city. And there's this girl that he is, this woman that he used to be with, that he used to sleep around with, was on the other side of the street. And she sees Augustine. And she goes, Augustine! Augustine! Augustine's over here. He just keeps walking. She goes, Augustine! Augustine! You know, probably lifts her dress a little. He just keeps walking. Keeps walking. Augustine, it's me! Yeah, but it's not me. And he just keeps walking. Because Augustine knew that that was the old him. His relationship with her was based on somebody that didn't exist anymore. When she came calling, when sin comes calling, I'm not saying that the lady was sin, but those sinful actions, when sin comes knocking at the door as us, for believers, we say, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. We don't have a relationship anymore. I'm dead to you, and you're dead to me. We have no business together. A lot of times we act like it's our soul partner. Sinfulness. Yeah, it's my soul partner. We're just going to hook up every day, just hanging out. And God's like, no, you're actually dead to that. I know you're growing and learning how not to sin, but that's not your identity anymore. We're new creation. The other part says this. There's no condemnation. Everybody say no condemnation. I kind of felt like this was a wrap here. Let me at least see here. Where is it at? In Christ, a new creation. Therefore, no condemnation. Come on. In Christ, a new creation. Therefore, no condemnation. Good job. You got it. Therefore, there's no condemnation. What does that word even mean? It means a lot of things. Number one, It means there's no accusation. In your relationship with Holy Spirit, when you fall into sin, if you hear the voice, "Don't touch that, you loser!" You ever heard that before? I've heard that before. That is not the voice of Holy Spirit. That is the voice of the accuser. Do you know the devil is called the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God day and night? And so if you hear a sharp voice that is going against who you are when you're troubled with sin, it's not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does something very, very different. Holy Spirit does this. Let me, this quote will help, actually. This is John Sheesby. I listened to him tape after tape 15, 20 years ago, and helped me get pulled out of some bad thinking. The enemy tries to tell you who you are in light of what you've done. But the Father tells you what you've done in light of who you are. So the devil is going to come up to you and say, "You're a wretch, you're a stinking loser, you're a worm because you just did those things." And then when you start to believe you're a worm and you believe you're a wretch, what are you going to do? What do wretchful people do? They live wretched lives. But God does something completely different. If you fall into sin, he puts his arm around you and he says, "Oh, you're my son. You're my daughter. You are the righteousness of God. Do you have any business doing that stuff over there as a son of God? No, that's not who you are anymore." Okay? So every time you feel convicted by the Holy Spirit, you can actually feel encouraged by your identity in Christ. That can pull you out of sin. Does that make sense? He says, "This, you're a son, so live like it," rather than live like it to be a son. Because then you're walking on eggshells all the time, right? In my life, in sports, with my dad, I didn't have to walk on eggshells. I knew, I had some pretty bad games in baseball, and there was times where I'd strike out or have a terrible game pitching. And first few times, I'm like, "Oh, man, I wonder what my dad's going to say." And he never, ever ridiculed me about my performance in baseball. Now, I put a lot of pressure on myself for other reasons, but wasn't towards my dad. And so playing baseball, him in the stands, I wanted to please him for sure. But there wasn't that, "Oh, I'm going to get it at home. I struck out again," that kind of a thing, right? So it was a beautiful thing for me. It was a beautiful way Jesus spoke to me. Here's something interesting. When we live our lives based on accusation, this is an interesting, I just want to note this. This is in Romans 7. It says, when we were in the realm of the flesh, listen, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. That doesn't mean the law is bad. Paul goes on for an entire chapter to tell you the law is not sinful. But if you try to live your life based on some kind of a law to try to define yourself, it will actually increase the problem. If you live your life in condemnation all the time, trying to do enough good things to get better, that's actually going to get worse. A lot of us have been in that place, right? We're like, "I'm just trying to prove myself to my family, to society, to everybody that I'm a good person," and you try and you fall. The only place that you will ever find real change in life is falling on the love of Jesus Christ, the acceptance that you already have. You can't walk with God in a steady way when you are just trying to define yourself by what the law says all the time or the law that you've made in your life. The other thing I want you to know is that no condemnation also means that there's tremendous amount of safety. I think some of us, we don't realize how much of a refuge that our relationship with Holy Spirit is. We don't have to feel like, number one, we know he's not going to yell sharply at us, right? But there's safety. He's got us. He's not going to, you know, he lets us make decisions, but he's there all the time. He's a place we can go to any time. Those of you who don't know Jesus, this is one of the most persuading things to me, that when I know that I have Jesus all the time, every time, It's very beautiful, and we can go to him. And he also gives us a sense of belonging. Like, and we've already talked about that, right? We're in Christ. Holy Spirit's there. Okay. So those are the three things, or the two things. The last one, I think this is the good part of the wrap here. You know, I don't know, but it says, in Christ, there's a new creation. Therefore, no condemnation. Now, we're talking about holy participation. Say, holy participation. God has called us to participate with Holy Spirit. We are participating in His life. A lot of times as Christians, we believe that life is mostly about us, and we're asking God to help us in our walk. And God absolutely loves to help us in our place, right? He does. But He says, there's more than your little world. My world is incredibly adventurous. Why don't you come and do things with me? Before I go on, I'm going to have Mike come up. But before I do, I want to share just one story. Grace, you didn't know I was going to do this. But this is my daughter, Grace, when she was maybe 5 years ago. I think she's probably 11 or 12, and we were on the golf course. And I was thinking, like, what's a good example of, like, someone participating with God? I was like, well, I wanted to go golfing, and I invited my kids to go along, and Grace was with me. And she wasn't old enough to drive a golf cart. If I would have let her drive that alone, it could have been probably pretty bad, right? But she sat on my lap. I let her put her arms on the steering wheel, even though I still had the steering wheel. And I let her participate in my drive on the golf course. And I felt like that's kind of like what Holy Spirit does with us. He says, hey, come, I've got a journey for you, but come my way. I want to show you what I'm doing, right? Rather than, you know, we're just living our own life saying, God, why don't you come and join me in everything that I'm doing? Holy Spirit's like, that's going to be a rocky road, right? Okay, so what I want to do, this is crazy, guys. So like three or four weeks ago when I started studying for this teaching, I was like, oh, yeah, holy participation. We get to ask what God's doing. Well, God, what do you want to do today? And I wrote that down. This was the notes, if you can see it. I said, oh, yeah, a life of participation, not just regulation. And then some other things I said. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to get Mike Hempel up here, and he's going to be like an example for me with Holy Spirit. I kid you not, within the next like half hour, Mike calls me up. I don't talk to Mike every week even, okay, on the phone at least. He calls me up. Come on, Mike. He calls me up and he's like, this is no joke. He goes, God has been speaking to me today so much. It has been an amazing day. He's been telling me, and he just basically begins to tell me everything that I wrote on that sheet, which is crazy, right? And so I'm going to let him first of all talk, and then we're going to go from there. Can you, Mike? I want you to tell us just about what your day was like. The funny thing I remember, it was January 30th, but you might remember that it was Friday. So,
is this on? Hello? Yep. Can we hear me? So you're doing very well, Daniel. I wish I was still sitting down listening to you.
All
right. So anyway, that morning I got up like I do every morning, and I raced to the coffee pot, and then I went to my Bible, and I was feeling like, you guys ever felt like, wonder if God's sad? You know, well, it happened to me. That morning I was just like, Lord, I'm so sorry about the ugly stuff in the world and everything that's going on. I apologize for my part of it. And then I was thinking, you know what, instead of praying, watch over me, protect me, and be with me today, I asked him, would you just allow me to just be with you, just to hang out with you today, and just see, and in Jesus' name, amen, right? I sat back, and I'm like, okay, now how do I do that? And so I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to assume I know more than God. I'm not going to assume that I can handle situations better. So I had one rule. If I was asked, I answered. And then I, you know, any kind of situation or struggle to come up, I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you want to do with this? And then I would wait, and I would leave space for God to do something, right? And so, you know, we call ourselves believers. We call ourselves followers of Christ. Let go, let God. But I didn't realize until I was intentional with it how bad I really was at it. It was uncomfortable, right? And so it was wonderful. Every situation, every problem, everything that happened worked out fine, better than I could ever imagine. It was a great day. I learned three things about God that day. That I learned about my relationship with him, I learned about more about him, and I learned about me, right? And so I went to bed that night, and I was, you know, so that's when I go to bed, that's my day, or my time to reflect on my day, to how could I be a better person, and I'm a mess, you guys, so that keeps me pretty busy till I fall asleep. And so, and then I was like, Lord, was I okay today? Would you hang out with me again? You know, and so that was my day.
Yes, amen. Give him a round of applause.
Here, stay here. Stay here.
So, Lord, what's on your heart today, right? That's the question he is asking. How are you doing today? And so before he leaves, this was the idea that I had is like, so imagine Mike, he's the Holy Spirit, okay? And I'm myself. This is, now obviously the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but this is just how the analogy goes. He goes wherever I go because he stays inside of me. So if I'm in sin, I actually take Holy Spirit with me and he grieves, right? But what God wants us to do is not just like, hey, come and do what I want. He wants me to look and go, hey, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Right? And then, hey, what do you, hey, Holy Spirit, what do you think of? What do you think of Eddie? What's on your heart for Eddie today? What's on your heart for Chase today? And then he begins to talk. And then we become friends. Friends share, they confide in each other. And God can trust us with those things the more we talk to him about those things. Does that make sense? He wants us to be friends with him. He wants to share the deep things of his heart. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. This is, I just want God to burst our bubble of sometimes we get fairly narcissistic in our walk with God, and he is just nudging us, trying to pull us away. There was a moment in my life a few years ago into myself, and then I began to just, I don't know what I was doing. I think I was just like, well, I'm just going to try praying for the church. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh, Holy Spirit's not only working and active in my life, he's active in Marcus's life, he's in Bobby's life, and he's in Joseph's life, every single person. I'm like, whoa, there is so much adventure. If I could just find out what you're doing in other people's lives, I can participate in loving them. And all of a sudden, my heart expands. My life gets more fun. I'm not bored anymore. I'm not into myself. I'm into what God's doing in the church and God, what God's doing to people that don't know him. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wow, life can be fun. If you're bored, I challenge you. Ask Holy Spirit, what are you doing today? What's on your mind? What's on your mind for my family today? What about that coworker that drives me nuts? Can you tell me a little about what's on your heart? Not the bad stuff, the good stuff, because if it was the bad stuff, you probably can't handle it, right, a lot of times. But at some point, he might say, yeah, somebody's got an issue, and I want you to pray for them. Don't talk to them. Just pray for them for the next week. And all of a sudden, you develop a love for that person. And it's not love that you created yourself. It was Holy Spirit. He's bringing it in you. He's like, yeah, this is my world. And then you might begin to have compassion on people that you never dreamed of. Maybe you're driving by and there's somebody who doesn't have any money and they're asking for things. Holy Spirit, what do you think of this person? You might find yourself weeping uncontrollably because you're feeling what God feels for that person. That is what God is calling us into. Beautiful, right? And at the end, I want to cap this all off with the life in the Spirit of God. We've kind of talked about this a little. Is a life as a son or a daughter of God. That means he's our father. And that word is a pressure word for a lot of us because a lot of us didn't have a great father. Some of us didn't even have a father growing up. So I want to challenge you guys to say, Lord, would you remake that word in my heart? Because you are the kindest, purest. You've got a spirit of gentleness. You are towards me. You don't run away in distance for 2 weeks. You know, when I was in my 20s, I would fall into different sins. You know, I'd put myself in the doghouse, not realizing I was a son of God. And God's like, you don't need to stay in the doghouse. Just bring it to me. I'll help you with those things. He's a new kind of father that a lot of us never had. And he wants to pull us into that. Listen to this scripture here, guys. This is at the end of Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit, he's basically saying those who are believers by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father. It's helpful for some of you might need just call him Abba. It's more of a tender way of saying Father. You're like, well, I don't understand the word Father yet because I have a past that didn't define it well. Call him Papa. Call him Abba at first, and then he'll bring it around saying, hey, I'm different. I want to show you what real love is like, what a real father is like. So that caps off Romans 8. Romans 8 is beautiful. I challenge you to go deep into Romans 8 to find out more about the Holy Spirit and what he's like. But the biggest challenge I have for you is this. Every morning, instead of saying, you know, first thing we do in the morning sometimes is like, I'm just tired. That's fine, right? We have lots of our mind races. But when you begin to talk to God, I challenge you to say this. What's on your heart today, Holy Spirit? Just like that. It doesn't mean that you're expecting him to speak right away. You're just basically saying, in this day, Holy Spirit, would you show me some things that are on your heart for the people around you? Obviously for yourself as well, but for the people around you, what are you doing? And I promise you, it'll get your eyes off yourself. The interesting thing is when we get into God's things, God gets into our things, and he begins to help us out. It's like, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. Just jump into his world, and then he's got you in your world. It's a beautiful thing, right? I'm going to pray. Father, I'm preaching to myself on this, Lord. I forget. Sometimes I get real introspective in my walk with you, Father, and we need to get pulled out and realize that your life inside of us is the life of adventure. You want us to experience what's in your heart, that we can participate in you. So help us do that this week, Lord. Let it become a habit to be focused on you and the things you're doing. In your name, Jesus, amen.